Well, this is indeed the 114th anniversary of this church, and so we sing hymns like Blessed Be the Tie That Binds Our Hearts in what kind of love?
Christian love.
Sometimes I can't remember words. As Laura said, we know that one so well, we don't even need the hymnal. And guess who needed the hymnal? And then we sang, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. And those kind of things are just so special for us to remember as we sing that we are voicing our theology. So God bless you. Our scripture for today is about the church. It's about the family of God. And that's the title, The Church, the Family of God. And this is scripture taken from, it's on the back of your bulletin, taken from the Christian Standard Bible. I think not a lot of you have gotten that one. So this will be just a tad, maybe a little tiny bit different than the Bible that you're used to, whether it's the King James or the New King James or the New International Version or the New American Standard Bible or today's Living Translation or whatever it is. Actually, I'm going to preach from today's Living Translation to next week, so if you're interested in looking that scripture up. But this is from Ephesians, the second chapter, starting in verse 11, and we go through verse 22. So then, remember that at one time you were Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcised by those called the circumcised, which is done in the flesh by human hands. At that time, you were without Christ, excluded from the citizenship of Israel and foreigners to the covenants of promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who made both groups one and tore down the dividing wall of hostility. In his flesh, he made of no effect the law consisting of commands and expressed in regulations, so that he might create in himself one new man from the two, resulting in peace. He did this so that he might reconcile both to God in one body through the cross by which he put the hostility to death. He came and proclaimed the good news of peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole building, being put together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you are also being built together for God's dwelling place, dwelling in the Spirit. I don't know, is there any better way to describe what the church is to be? What the church is in the scheme of God. But this week, I was dwelling in my mind about what does it mean? What does it mean for a group of people to become a family and then grow as a family with new ones being led every year to want to become a part of that family for the long period of time of 114 years. And as I read and reread this passage for today from Ephesians 2, I had a growing feeling. And so let me try something here. I want to read that passage, some of it, about a church called Bosquedale Baptist and her people. Before, for all of us, each of us, either before we became a Christian or maybe in addition as we came to Christ, and now after. Now today, as in what has transpired over those years. And so listen graciously, if you will, and carefully, and maybe look at the back of your bulletin and kind of see how these might go together, because this is an interpretation. So then, remember that at one time you were not in a group of professing Christians. You were called the lost by those called the saved, saving which is done in the Spirit by Jesus Christ. At that time you were without Christ, excluded from the citizenship of Christians, and foreigners to the covenants of promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who made both groups one and tore down the dividing wall of hostility. In his flesh, he made of no effect the Baptist faith and message, a creed somewhat like the law that made Hebrews Jews, consisting of commands and expressed in regulations, so that he might create in himself one new man from the two, resulting in peace. He did this so that he might reconcile both to God in one belief and body through the cross by which he put the separation to death. He came and proclaimed the good news of peace to you who were lost and peace to those who were saved. For through belief in him, we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then, you who at some point in your lives were lost are no longer foreigners and strangers, but through his church and the fellowship that is Bosquedale Baptist are now fellow citizens with the saints and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself at the cornerstone. In him, the whole building, being put together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord on the side of this hill. In him, you are also being built together as his church, Bosquedale Baptist Church, for God's dwelling in the Spirit. So, my apologies to the Holy Scripture for paraphrasing, but did you hear? In his Ephesians passage, Paul spoke to the church as the family of God. Mm-hmm. In what I read, in my paraphrase, did that speak to you about this church, your church, our church, as a family of God? This analogy, family slash church, has a great deal of meaning and value, and is supported by a number of other similar analogies that express the same thing about the nature of the church. Over in Galatians, in 6:10, Paul referred to the church as our family in the faith. He admonished Timothy with respect to his pastoral responsibilities. If a man does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of the church of God? 1 Timothy 3:5. Obviously, the church is a larger family. Amen. It is. Hey, this is our 114th reunion. Amen. Family reunion. Good. The church is called the people of God. Mark these down. You can read them later. 2 Corinthians 6:16-18, Hebrews 2:14-17, 1 Peter 4:17. See, there is a good reason to take notes occasionally. I tell you to mark those down. That's where the church is called the people of God. The church is also compared to a brotherhood. 1 Corinthians 6:5, 1 Peter 2:17, 1 Peter 5:9. Also, Jesus, referring to the community that followed him, he referred to them as the bride and groom. Matthew 22, 1 through 10, Revelation 19, 7. The church is the family. It's not the building. Not the building that anyone, anywhere worships in. We call that the church. We see it as the church. It's where the church gathers. The church is an immediate family. I mean, you know, absolutely together. Most of us were born into a family and grew up with parents, possibly brothers and sisters. We learned the meaning of family in our small, immediate family circle. And it's the same way with the church. In the New Testament and in our own experience, the church is the first of all the small community of believers. The church is that community of believers gathering regularly in a particular place, meeting, worshiping, serving God, and then going out. In the New Testament, of about 114 references to the word church. Incidentally, that's a good number for today, isn't it? 93 of those 114 refer to these small families of God, that is, communities of the communities that were living and worshiping together in the various immediate communities of the Roman Empire. And our church is the immediate family of God in this Boscadale community. And growth is a part of family life. Well, there were four children in my family, four boys, bless my mother's heart. We're all grown now. One's gone on to heaven. And three of us now live in various parts of the United States. All of us have children of our own. All of us have grandchildren. Our mother and father are no longer with us, but our family loosely holds together. We communicate often by phone, by card, you know, Christmas cards, birthday cards, and letters. And although my family is widely scattered in terms of geography, Illinois, Louisiana, Florida, it is still one family. Growing, but scattered. And many of you have the same scattering, but also it's still one family. Amen. Amen. And it was that way in the New Testament. At first, the people thought primarily of their local congregation, but by the time Paul wrote to the Ephesians and Colossians, he realized that all Christians throughout the world were tied together in a big, growing, even though scattered, true, altogether family relationship. Uh-huh. See, the church is a large family with many smaller families. The church, with a capital C, is truly a family. Wherever we may travel or encounter a church, even though they may speak a foreign language, you know, like if you go south, you're going to speak a foreign language down there or somewhere else. Worship, even though they may worship in a different way or have a culture that's entirely separate from our own, we find ourselves at home in the family when we get with one of those churches. The church is the family of God. It's not a building or an organization. The church is God's family. Amen. God's family. Amen. Now, people are born or adopted into a family. And you know, the New Testament uses both of these terms. Jesus spoke of becoming Christian as being born again, John 3:3. Paul referred to adoption, Romans 8:23 and Romans 9:4. Both terms stress our entry into the family of God. And it is God who creates his family. We don't. When I was thinking this, I was wishing I had a copy of the original charter of this church. I've read it. I didn't have a copy right then, because I bet those good folks knew and acknowledged who really put it together in this place. They knew it was God who put them together. Often, we don't think. But we do think sometimes that we build or organize churches. However, new members are born into the church when people hear the gospel under the power of the Holy Spirit. They come to understand sin and are convicted of their sins and respond by accepting and having new faith in Jesus Christ. And God initiates all of this, even sending his Holy Spirit to use us as his servant messengers. We are merely God's servants in bearing that witness of family. And God, who calls us into family, also called the church into being. Think of any church, anywhere, for just a minute. Through a mission organization, we may go into a country or we may just go into a town where there are no churches or maybe not enough churches, and we may establish a teaching or a preaching ministry out of which a church later becomes a family of God and grows. But we also need to remember that any congregation, any church that emerges does so because God has called it into being. All right. We go on missions, we go on church plantings, only because he sends us a response to the word as the Holy Spirit works within us as hearers. When a church itself is born, no matter how individuals may have been involved, it is God who calls his family into being. Not only that, he holds his family together. In the local church, in Boscadel, in the universal church, God, the Heavenly Father, holds his family together. God is the reason that this beloved church has stayed together for 114 years. And those of us who are members here participate in this family because of our faith in God, our Father. Faith in our Father, the head of this family, God, is the basis of our family kind of love for one another. So, the church is God's family from whenever it began, here in Boscadel Church in 1906, until God chooses an end. We are not going to choose that end. The church is truly a family. A family, we remind ourselves, is a unit composed of various individuals, and I do mean various. A lot better than some of the words I could have chosen there. I just mean that each person has his or her own particular characteristics, and these are often quite diverse. Members within a family don't always have to agree, but they are actually bound together by a bond that is far stronger than any human opinion. Though many then and diverse, we, the members of Boscadel Baptist Church for the last 114 years, are a family, all of the people. We're a unity. And here's a concept that we need. We belong to the family. We belong to the family. Several times in the New Testament, the word belong is used in connection with our relationship to God and to the church. And human life is made up of belonging. We really don't learn the meaning of human life until, as growing children, we build a strong relationship of belonging with our family members. And then as we grow older, we desire to be accepted by our peers, and we begin to belong to other groups. And later, we enjoy the respect and love of people from belonging to many groups and many relationships. And this means that in so many ways, we derive our meaning in life from belonging to other people. We experience this bond of belonging most clearly in our families. You know, husband and wife belong to each other. Siblings belong to each other. Children belong to their parents. Parents belong just as much to their children. The bond of belonging does restrict complete freedom in one sense, yes. Yet in a larger sense, it is the basis of true freedom. You see, we learn the meaning of love only in belonging. Again, look at your own family relationships. Look at those who belong to you and to whom you belong. Think of those many, many occasions in which there has been joy, gladness, fun in your family. Now, I'm sorry to do this, but think of an occasion full of grief or sorrow. Recall how important it is to you to intimately belong to one another and to have others belong to you in those times. Now, realistically, this is what it must mean to belong to a church. It must mean that. In the church, we learn to love one another to the extent that we give ourselves to others and we accept them into meaningful relationships. You see, love cannot be known in isolation. It has meaning only in personal relationships. We love God because He first loved us. He started this loving thing. So in the family, as we love, we share. The human pilgrimage, short, may be long, it may be, includes both joy and sorrow. A number of years ago, I had the pleasure of serving as pastor of a young church in a relatively new suburb of a large city. And the members who had built or bought homes in that area came from various other church communities. Many of the members were relatively young. I saw how they cared for one another in times of gladness and in times of grief. And I remember one occasion in which the mother of a young lady member was dying of cancer. And this young member had children of her own. Well, the other families of the church cared for her and for her children. They helped clean her house and wept at her mom's funeral as if they had lost a member of their own immediate family. This is the church. Amen. Amen. It means so much to belong to a church that knows that it is the family of God. Perhaps first, it means that we acknowledge that we belong to God. Not only did God create us, but He also redeemed, reclaimed us through Jesus Christ. We start out, until we think otherwise, simply as God's creatures. But then, falling into sin, as humans always do, we come at times to believe we could live some of, or maybe even all of our lives best without God's will and leadership. That started with Adam and Eve, and it caused estrangement and misery. But salvation means that we are restored to God. The relationship of belonging is reestablished, and the church family emphasizes that. And we come to cherish that, belonging to God and belonging to His people. When we come to know God and the family of God, we may not have thought of it this way, but we've come home. There's no sense of loss in turning our backs on our old kind of life. Rather, there is pure joy because we now realize the relationship with God and with His family, with others. We realize that relationship for which we were created. Christians who are awake, if you know what I mean, cherish this membership in God's family. And they don't stay away from it. When we recognize our Heavenly Father as the Father of His family, it is easy to realize that we belong to each other. In the family of God, we rejoice at the birth of a new member. Recently, I was talking with a member of our family whose first child had just been born. And his joy just bubbled over and over. And Sue and I immediately called our other family members to tell them the good news of this new birth, this new family member. And likewise, the church is entrusted with good news, the good news of salvation, particularly when someone comes and they're saved. And we talk to others. We proclaim that good news, the gospel of forgiveness throughout the world. In our local community, this community that we claim as Boskydale, we rejoice when a person becomes a Christian and is born into the family. And this joy is so appropriate. Also, when we hear from missionaries like the Stantons in foreign countries that people are becoming Christians, we rejoice from a distance. You see, belonging to the family of God is very, very significant. This family had its origins in the life and the teachings and the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is He who first organized this beloved family that new Christians were going to be born into. He told Nicodemus, "You must be born again." John 3:7. And He told Peter, "I will build my church." Matthew 16:18. We each participate in that family. And as you know so well from those who have passed on from family here to the Heavenly Father and the Heavenly Family, we make our contribution and we pass from the scene, but in a sense, we live on through the family. Amen. And isn't that so true as we reflect on these 114 years of Boskydale Baptist Church? And so for you here today, and those of you who will hear this at home because of very important precautions for you, take heart. You, my friends, my family, are members of God's family. And through your participation these days for Boskydale, the family lives on.
Amen.
Amen.